Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We came to you live from Glasgow, and we were joined by a comedian and Celtic fan, Susie McCabe, who was on great form.
Very good form. She's funny.
Jack Cocker, the director of a new documentary, Mr. Brown's Boys.
Yeah.
We spoke to Jack as well about putting that together around the 98 World Cup. Colin Hendry joined us. Colin played at that 98 World Cup and actually talked a bit of Euro 96 and his and whether he ever gets tired of watching that moment against Gaza at Wembley. And we had a bit of a chat about various things, didn't we? So I think that's pretty much it. Plus Jim White.
Jim White
talked about leaving Sky after all those years. So anyway, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Sorry, good morning. I told you. It's just
you're like on autopilot.
I'm really going to throw everybody out. Someone's going to wake up after working nights and think, what the heck's going on? Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, everybody. And yes, the holiday got off to a tricky start.
Not a holiday.
But
I think
it is for me.
We're working.
I think you'll find for me it is a holiday.
Yes, in these circumstances, then I can appreciate it.
When you couldn't find the right deodorant. It was a shame. They only had the travel size, but thank goodness.
Well, that's right. That's how it kicked off, because I forgot, because we're flying. We had to fly up to Glasgow to make sure we made it in time
it's
for
brilliant.
Kickoff.
When you get to Heathrow, you get on the transit at Terminal 5, you're absolutely packed in, never mind COVID or anything.
Oh, yeah. It was like last chopper out of Saigon, wasn't it?
Then on the escalator, absolutely packed in. You get on the plane, they give you an antibacterial wipe.
And tell you not to stand within 2 metres of someone.
really thought this through,
folks, have you? Well done.
But we arrived in Glasgow.
We did.
We had a slightly psychotic taxi driver, had a violent plan for getting rid of all politicians.
Yeah, and had really thought it through. I mean, to the nth degree. I mean, a bag of lime was introduced.
I know.
It was quite horrible.
It was.
Anyway, that happened. And then what?
He regaled us with an Ally McCoy's cardboard cutout anecdote.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I didn't really listen
no,
to it.
No, it was a good story. I think his team had played in a big game against Rangers and Ally was injured. He'd broken his leg. And so the fans, as Ally wasn't there, lots of Rangers fans took cardboard cutouts.
Mm.
And he claimed one of them and he's still got it now. He's going to put it on eBay.
Yeah, I think I heard him say that he still had the cutout, but I filtered out quite a bit in between. And we're very lucky to have my very good friend Dave Tully with us here today. Born and bred in Glasgow, and Dave's a walking Wikipedia, isn't he?
He is. It was brilliant. He gave us a proper tour. I've only ever been up to Glasgow really for football and everything that goes around that, which is probably drinking and eating. So to walk around the city properly with my head up, as the way you should do, and looking at all the Charles Rennie Macintosh building, the stuff being pointed out to us, going around the university,
which was amazing, wasn't it?
So actually, it's a top city. It's a really
with
good place.
With the facts that, for example, chicken tikka masala was invented here.
We ate opposite the restaurant, apparently. Where it was first invented. Yeah, it's a Scottish thing.
Buchanan Street is the third most expensive shopping street in the world.
It was at one point.
Okay.
It was at one point. Yeah.
I did doubt this one. It's the best dentistry school in the world. I thought, are you serious?
Now.
No disrespect.
You've got to get out of the city this afternoon, so be careful.
And we'll come back to it because there's lots. As you say, the university, beautiful. The world famous catacombs.
Yeah.
Bowling catacombs.
I told you this is that. My old mate Bill Burrow, City fan journalist, he said, what the heck are you doing? I've just woken up and almost had a heart attack. Puts on the radio, thinks it's 1 o'clock. What have I been doing? Anyway, not.
We did watch the England game.
We did. We wanted to come up early, as we said, so we could watch the England game here in Glasgow. We decided not to do that at the fan zone. We did meet a few England fans down at the fan zone. Mm. And they were bravely wearing their colours. But they were saying, look, it's fine, most of them live up here anyway. And the cabbie was telling us yesterday, both his neighbours are English. A lot of people are getting out of England, he said. Yeah. They're moving up here.
No, that's true.
Probably just as well. But anyway, we did watch the game. We went into one of the fine Green King pubs with the Cairns and watched it in there. And this is how England-Croatia unfolded through our eyes yesterday.
Welcome to the Cairns Bar in Glasgow. We came up this morning so we could watch the England game. And
we're still alive.
Yeah, no, everybody's been very welcome.
Very friendly. Yeah,
in fact, we are lucky to have a translator, cultural attaché with us.
Interpreter.
Dave Tully, friend of ours, who is from Glasgow and is with us. But he's supporting England, Dave.
Of course, absolutely.
So, yeah, here we are. We're just in the bar. Most people seem fairly indifferent to the match. We seem to be the only ones particularly...
Well, I think fans of Chilwell are sure. They're not happy about Trippier.
That's funny. A lot of people gutted that they're not starting. But anyway, we'll see how the afternoon unfolds.
It's Sterling out to bring the ball forward and find Foden. Takes it into his stride. We'll check. Left-footed shot across the face of goal. Hits the inside of the post. And Guardiola's had a clear. His first contribution in a major tournament, so nearly ending up in a goal.
Well, we've just hit the post. Chris Iwuolumo is a good luck charm. Just as he walked in, we hit the post.
Well, that's not good luck, is it? It's
well,
bad luck.
Well, I'm always doing what? Yeah, that's true. You're right. Actually, it's quite bad luck. Yeah, it's pretty true.
So far from the scrum.
Yeah, well, I can't see good, anything. I'm taking it as a good sign.
I'm relying on you for a commentary.
I sit that far away from the pitch at Tottenham that this is a normal view. A telly across a room is like the way I watch football.
One of those Welsh men in back home.
Well, I'm looking upon Chris as a good luck charm. Let's see what happens.
That means with a long ball over the top and Sterling will run onto it and he'll get there first around the edge of the penalty area and win a free kick. And the free kick is for a handball about a yard and a half outside the box. And this is a very promising position.
And here we are on the cusp of greatness. We're looking at the England players lining up over the ball.
I hope the goal goes in, because so far this has been so boring. We've been talking about players born in the south and west. What's his name? Carl Walker's fish tank.
Well, look, it's not so much a dog. We're just it's nerves, Andy, it's nerves. So here we are. This looks like Trippier fancies this one. And the atmosphere in this pub among all the people having their lunch is palpable, is non-existent. Here we go.
It's Kieran Trippier who scored from this kind of area against Croatia in the past, tries to do so again, the wall jumped, blocked it, goes out of play for a throw.
Well, there we are. So it's like false alarm. They just smack Perisic in the face. So, okay, well, let's hope the goal comes in.
Been a solid start to the tournament. No breakthrough though. England nil, Croatia nil at half time.
So there we are, half time. And after a pretty solid start on the front foot, it fell into a pretty familiar pattern, but still creating chances.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, when you're watching in the pub? I can't see it.
Andy's basically not seen any of the game. What with the shadow on the pitch and the distance of the TV screen? He might have been watching in a tunnel. But, Andy, I can tell you we started well and then, you know, slightly tailed.
I can see that.
And look, they've got to keep the faith.
You're not allowed to have the volume up, apparently, so we can't really get the atmosphere. It's COVID regulation.
It's a COVID... Yeah, that's right. Do you think sometimes pubs are hiding behind that because they can't get the tellies any louder?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Very strange. Anyway, back for the second round.
Now Calvin Phillips will try and make a run to split the lines, and he's not well. He receives the ball, and he turns inside, he slips it in. It's Sterling! And England are off and running! Calvin Phillips has made it! Raheem Sterling puts it away. His first goal at a major tournament for England.
Which good.
We have scored. Yes. I mean, we're all sitting here thinking, oh, this is looking a bit dodgy now. Croatia are getting it back into it. We're not really creating much.
Should
not
be 3-0.
Yes, yes. Our mate Dave Tully, the man from Glasgow, has gone 3-0 England. He's very bullish. He's sticking with that. But what a cracking finish by Raheem.
Just when Croatia was sort of beginning to show a bit.
Yeah.
I think we're going to win it now.
So do we. We're going to win the whole thing. We just find the little kiddie over there having his dinner. We all went, anyway. He wasn't sure, was a little
bit. Used to goals going in the Scottish.
Oh, no need for that.
And Mount is goal side. He just tried to thread it through towards Kane. He was brought down, and it's a free kick to England. 5 yards outside the box.
Mason Mount is standing over this one, this free kick with England 1-0 up. And here he goes, Mason. Oh!
Unlucky.
As you probably gathered, that was close. Although most of the other people in the pub are just eating their dinner and not at all fussed about the game.
They were glad it went over the bar. Yeah.
And the referee signals the end of the game. England off to a winning start in the Euros for the first time in their history.
There we are. That's big result.
The ref was hoping that Croatia would score at the end there, but no, to no avail.
You did make the point, Andy, a different philosophy than the Italians, who got a goal and then got the other team by the throat.
It's invaluable. You win your first game in a tournament, you're really, you're set the momentum. They only need a point now, they'll qualify. So that's good.
I'm expecting quite a pub full of rabid Scots wanting England to lose. And what we've got is about three or four families fairly indifferent to the whole thing. But
they were hoping the big blast was on.
Anyway, we got the points.
Yes.
Good start.
I think if we'd search hard enough, we could have found a pub full of rabid Scots who wanted England to lose. Yeah. We just decided not to.
I'm not sure about playing It's Coming Home at this stage.
Give
it a few more games. Let's get to the quarterfinals.
A hint of irony about the whole thing. You know, they may not see it like that. The Scotland fans may, or the Scotland players may be feeding off of that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Welcome back to the old schoolhouse pub in Glasgow on the day Scotland returned to tournament football.
How long has it been, Paul?
It has been 1,199 weeks, 275 months, 392 days, 198 games and 10 finals. But now at long last, says the back of the record, our time has come.
Absolutely.
Joining us now, part of your commentary team, of course, for Scotland Czech Republic this afternoon at 2 on TalkSport, Chris Sirwelamo, the former Scotland striker. And our own Jim White. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Afternoon?
Well, see, this is going to keep... Come on, give me a break.
Morning, no, you're still trying to get used to the time change, obviously.
I am. I've had a few listeners saying, I've just woken up, what the heck are you doing to me? I thought, we're 3 hours of my life.
They hear Jim's voice now. Yeah, be
now they know, Jim, I think it's 10 o'clock.
We're now in Glasgow.
Yeah, yes. It's noticeable, Jim, isn't it? Unless you're here, I don't think you appreciate just what it means to Scotland fans and Scottish people to be back in a tournament after all this time.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's been too long, Paul, to be honest. I mean, when I think of it, France 98, I was there with Scotland. And, you know, if you said to me then, all right, it'll be another 23 years before Scotland are another major finals, you'd be like, no, you're kidding. Because then we had players like McAllister, Gordon Jury, Craig Burley. And they were all right in France. You know, they had Brazil in the opening game. Only Scotland could take on Brazil in the opening game in France and lose by the odd goal. But now that we are back, the feeling of expectation is evident. We arrived last night in the city and they're outside the hotel, fans wandering around everywhere, and they are building and building, and we are building too. In fact, Big Chris and I coming over, we said this morning at breakfast, one thing we're not going to do is fall into any trap about how we do today. And then the taxi on the way over was saying, do you know what? If we're third or even second in the group, we could be off to Copenhagen.
Like, unbelievable.
Falling into the trap.
Been far too long, and I think it'll really hit home. 12,000 fans at Hampden today. The atmosphere is going to be absolutely electric. You know, you look at the names that Jim said there, 1998, the quality and depth of this group of players, bringing club form to international level as well. You know what? It's okay to dream.
Yeah.
I'm forever the optimist, very positive. But again, you can be brought down to earth very, very quickly, but hopefully not today.
Yeah.
You know, it is interesting as well, because the game is at 2 o'clock. It's difficult for people here. So, but apparently, speaking to people, they are going to be able to watch in schools and they are going to take a bit of time off at work, which is important, isn't it? Because it's a real collective thing, this, for the nation of Scotland.
Yeah, that's a good point you make, Andy. I mean, 2 o'clock, right in the middle of the day, and you're like, Monday, 2 o'clock, welcome to Scotland against the Czech Republic. How are you going to do it? They'll do it. Are you kidding me? They will find a way. They will find a way. And they'll also be listening on TalkSport. I mean, again, we were talking last night, Chris, myself, and Alex Crook, who's a commentator today. What an opportunity. Just get to a radio and listen. Listen to the game live. 2 o'clock, Scotland in the Euros.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Wonderful. We can't wait. We can't wait.
And the crankies are excited.
Are the crankies excited? Any what they said? Did they say fan Debbie Dozy by any chance?
No. Jeanette Tuff, a.k.a. Cheeky Schoolboy Wee Jimmy Cranky, said, come on, Nicola, give the Scots a national holiday so we can all enjoy watching the team on the telly.
Yeah.
Happy Ian joked, if you don't, we'll release another Scotland song. No
fair play.
In fairness, it's been a very difficult, you know, 15, 16 months for everyone. It's just, this has came at the right time.
Yeah.
Bring the nation together. The build-up has been outstanding. The players themselves haven't really, I think, focused on it until they've went away to the camp in Spain. And then they're getting drip-fed little things, what's going on back here at home. And, you know, I know for a fact they're all up for it.
We said it was a nice touch, Chris, the other day when Andy Robertson, the captain, gave the boys a kind of a welcome pack as they arrived, which included some nice bits and pieces like eye watches and stuff, but also a kind of a sort of Scottish collection of shortbreads and stuff like that. It was a sort of thing you pick up on the motorway services in East Kilbride. But it was fantastic.
You know, I think when you're captain of the group, I think there's a responsibility that the team spirit's good, that you bring everyone together. That's something that Scotland's always had over the other nations. I have to say, I think yous have got that. I think yous have got that now.
To get that kind of club mentality in the international setup.
Yeah, they enjoy being away together.
Was it like that? Would you always say that when you...
Yeah. Always. You know, I guess the rivalry between Celtic and Rangers, you could definitely see that rivalry was brought into the camp. But again, today's football, the players, they enjoy being away. They look forward to getting away. They know this is massive, but as a captain, you have to make sure that you manage all that. And I think he does it very, very well, Andy Robertson.
Jim, we should ask you about, you made a big announcement at the end of last week. It's a kind of end of an era for you and for all us football fans. You finally, after 23 years, leaving Sky Sports News.
Well, I mean, as you know, Andy, I'm into my late 40s now. the time had come. I mean, I loved it. It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But I was thinking, I wonder if I should maybe say something after the Euros, because Talk Sport in the morning, then travelling across London to do 3 hours on Sky Sports News, and of course Talk Sport's live, the telly was live, and I think I need to do something because I'm getting no younger. And we thought, well, I'm going to be up in Glasgow for the Euros for 10 straight days. May as well say it now before I go. And yeah, I must admit, there was a lump in my throat. One or two people in the studio shed a tear, but I wasn't sure if that was a tear of joy.
Deadline day thank God he's going. Be the same.
That's the thing. I mean, when it started to go a bit mad, the yellow tie and being helicoptered in and all the cray, I mean, not for one moment did you think that was going to happen, I'm
no,
sure.
No, absolutely, Paul. I was thinking, well, what in hell's name have I got myself involved in here? I mean, they even started saying to me, this thing has caught on so much that when you arrive at Sky, phone the news desk and we'll get a couple of camera crews down to you and film you walking in. I'm like, breaking news, Jim White arrives for work. You know, the memories are vivid and long lasting. I mean, I'll always remember on the night Berbatov pitches up at United, and we're thinking Rubinho's going to go to Chelsea, and he pitches up at City. I mean, incredible. Fernando Torres in the blacked-out people carrier down at Chelsea, and you're thinking, is Fernando Torres really going to go from Liverpool to Chelsea for $50 million? But he did, and of course, Odom Wingie. And
oh, that was
like
one of the greats.
Like, good evening, what are you doing here, Peter?
Also, the fans behind the reporters before you
changed. Yeah, which before, always, before certain...
That was always a joy.
Certain objects were waved in the background,
yes,
of course.
Yes, it was a bit risky television. Ears.
It was, yeah.
The live aspect of it was great, but, I mean, Harry played such a major part.
Oh, yeah.
I've yet to speak to him, actually. I must give him a call. He probably still doesn't know I've left. But you watch him. What?
Yeah, someone will stop him in his car. He'll be leaving the Tesco car park, won't he, in Sandbanks. And he'll wind down the window. Jim White's gone. He's going to do one of them.
I know. But, yes, it was a moment of much emotion. And I'll look back in it all fondly. Yeah. Very fondly.
It was a brilliant time.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Mr. Brown's boys, myself and Andy and Martin Kellner talked about it on Friday, said how much we enjoyed it. It's a BBC Scotland production, and it's available on the iPlayer to download. And maybe after the show, if you've got an hour before Scotland kick off, get a sense of what this means to the Scottish people to be back in a tournament, because it has been a long time. 1998 World Cup was the last time they were there. And this documentary tells that story. Let's give you a flavour of it before we chat to the director, Jack Cocker.
In the summer of 1998, the man tasked with leading us there was an unlikely messiah. Was he a renowned ex-pro? A former shop steward forged in the fiery crucible of Clydeside shipyards? No. The last man who took us to a major tournament was an unassuming chap the press nicknamed the schoolteacher, Craig Brown. This is the story of how he led us to glory.
To cut a long story short, we lost.
Ah, OK.
Yeah, I think that gives you a flavour of the style of the documentary. That's the great Fred McCauley there giving you the narration. Jack Cocker is the director. Jack, good to see you.
Nice to be here. Thanks
for coming down.
Welcome to Glasgow.
It was. It's a lot of fun. Congratulations, because it's beautifully put together. And I think the fact you had to do it in such a short space of time, from the moment you got the go-ahead from BBC Scotland to delivering it, 8 weeks, which is pretty tight for a documentary with a lot of talking heads in different parts of the world.
And in COVID as well.
Yeah, of course.
Which made it even harder. But it was. The idea came from a guy, Kevin Ferry, who was a sports journalist for The Herald for many years. And then he's got out of print journalism and wants to get into documentaries, and Turn Television took up the idea and got me on board, weirdly, because I'd never made a football doc in my life.
Right.
But
artsy normally, aren't you?
Yeah, I know. I'm normally poncing around, stroking my chin and talking about paintings. But I do love football, and I remember 98 very, very well. And it was an absolute pleasure to meet all these guys and try and tell that story.
The title, was that his idea or your idea? It's a good title.
It was his idea, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it's a pun. And maybe it got us a few extra viewers, who knows?
Yeah. It's you've brought together a collection. They're all good talkers. It's very entertaining from that point of view. Craig Burley's on fine form. And, of course, when you see him interviewed, there's the big. He's out. He's clearly not in his garden in Glasgow, because he lives out and works out in the States. So you called upon the services of a friend of ours, Mark Donaldson from ESPN, to interview him out there.
Exactly, yeah. He did the interview in, I think it might have been his back garden, actually. But, yeah, they're both in Connecticut now. Craig works for ESPN. And I'd sort of sent him some questions and hoped for the best. And I didn't realise it was such a delight to get the footage back, because he's hilarious.
Well, because he knows Mark so well. I mean, I imagine it was a very easy conversation. So I imagine there was a fair bit you had to take out. I mean, the language is pretty fruity, isn't it? But that sort of adds to the edge, I think.
Yeah, there's a bit of language throughout, but I didn't want to bleep it, because it's good old industrial.
It's the rhythm of it, I think, exactly. when you hear people talking like that, really. You
know? Yeah, and I was slightly worried that Craig himself, Craig Brown, might be. Because he's a he's an old school gentleman, you know, and I was a bit worried that he'd be concerned that a programme with his name in the title would have so much industrial language. But obviously, he's been in many dressing rooms, and I'm sure he's heard much worse.
There's some great archive in there from the time. I mean, the stealing the salt tire from Bannockburn and all that.
Oh, yeah. That's a great story. The guys who took the salt tire to the World Cup and how they got it down.
I love the fact they left a blanket in its place.
Yeah. It's on loan.
It was their mum's
curtains. Bring it back safe and sound after the World Cup.
Gone to France, it said. And they actually, we didn't include it, but when they got back, they put the flag back up under the cover of darkness again with another curtain that said merci on it.
I mean, when you look at when you watch the documentary, folks, you'll be shocked by just how high they climbed to get that down. They did it at night, and I take it they'd had a couple of beers for Dutch courage. Madness, wasn't
I think
it?
They might have done. They've kept their identities a secret for 23 years.
Yeah.
So I was very grateful to them that we sort of reveal it in a stupid way, but we had a real laugh with them.
Yeah, the archetypal thing that you get in World Cups, the bloke that cycles, we always say the bloke cycles from Mexico to wherever it is, to Japan. But you had a guy who cycled from Arbroath.
Yeah, Chiz Roberts. He was brilliant, and he's got the Arbroath accent with him. And it was a pleasure hanging out with him, actually. He was, and he still cycles, you know. Yeah, I think that one of the guys, I think it was John Collins, says that he thinks, you know, that a tournament is made a bit more special by the Tartan Army being there, because you know, they do have a reputation for enjoying themselves, making friends. Especially, I think that tournament, they almost, because the English were busy like sacking Marseille at the time.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
The Tartan Army almost behaved themselves to spite the English. You know, it was sort of like let's look even better because they're looking, you know.
Yeah. It's a very moving moment in the film. It's a lovely moment because Scotland, as the guys were saying, with Chris and Jim were saying, Scotland played the opening game of the World Cup against Brazil, which was obviously a great honour, a fantastic
really
thing. And they go onto the field of play in traditional Scottish dress, and they're all wearing kilts. And let's just play you a little clip from the documentary of Craig and others explaining that.
For the Scottish team to turn up at the Stade de France in the kilt was a winner from the word go. The team walked out onto the pitch and the Brazilians all cheered.
They're like, wow. They started staring and thinking, never seen this before.
Went straight over to the supporters and they were loving it.
There's things that stick out, obviously, in the game. But I think walking out onto the pitch in our kilts was probably one of the best reactions I've ever known.
That's a lovely moment, Jack.
They're not going to be doing that today, though, are they?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. But
there was actually a secret. The SFA had already bought them blazers and flannels.
Yeah.
But then, so Craig thought, if I ask the SFA for money for kilts, they're going to say no. So they went and secretly bought them and walked out like that.
Wow.
I remember it well. I just graduated. I was in a flat just over the hill from where we are now on Cecil Street, in a basement flat with my flatmates. Widescreen TVs were brand new, and we'd all clubbed together to rent one from Radio Rentals for the month. It was about 3 feet deep.
Brilliant.
And we all got together. Our flat was rammed on that day, and I remember them walking out in the kilts. It was like,
lovely. Well, look, we highly recommend it. As we said, if Scotland get the result and you're feeling up, watch the documentary. Some brilliant footage in there, and so well done to you and the team for putting it together so quickly.
And where are you going to be watching the game today?
I'm going to go around to a mate's house. He's going to be projecting it. Although I have tickets for the fan zone for Scotland England.
Oh,
on Friday.
Wow!
So that's
enjoy.
The big one.
Yeah. Miss Brown's Boys, it's BBC Scotland production, and is available to download wherever you are in the UK on the iPlayer. Cheers, Jack. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks a lot.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Back to yesterday.
Oh, yeah. It was a
very exciting first day of the trip. And the quote of the day came from our own Alex Biddle, sitting over there with the camera filming us today for social media, as he ordered more food in the Green King pub.
And he used it's the phrase of the tour so far.
It says, I've never been full.
I've never been full. He used as a statement, like from the world of competitive eating. I think he's heard. He doesn't even realise he's being talked about on air at the moment. He's miles away. away. Does Alex know we're talking about him at the moment on national radio? We just
know he does. He's playing it cool. Oh, I'm so cool. I'm not listening. I'm just texting away. Then we had dinner at the, as I mentioned earlier, the Ubiquitous Chip, very nice restaurant. Mm. And the fine Scottish actor, Bill Patterson, from the voiceover, of course, from The Repair Shop, was on the next table. Yeah. Well, he just couldn't, his voice.
He's done other work. When I think of Bill Patterson, I don't think of the first thing, really, as the voice of The Repair Shop. I mean, that's a good gig.
I said to John, I just want to get my old clock fixed. Can you take it round to him?
I don't think he doesn't do the repairs.
But funny enough, we were watching a programme, the wife and I, on Kew Gardens.
Yeah.
And she said to me, who's that voice? So I said it was familiar. So I actually looked it up. The day before, I showed you on my Google history there, I was looking up Bill Patterson, and he's at the next table. It was incredible. But our old friend Dave Tully, who was with us, he's full of facts.
He is full of facts, yeah.
He was telling us about a pint glass that, you know, pint glasses, it goes straight up and then it has a kind of bulge and then it has the top. And he said, do you know why that's like that? And we all went, no. And
it was just a glass full of ice waiting for John, producer's cider to go into
then,
it.
We didn't know he was going to do this. He then knocks the glass over.
Yeah.
And the thing around it stops the glass from shattering. But it made this really, it scared the living daylights out of Bill.
Bill Patterson.
He wasn't happy.
And then, he proceeded to do it again.
He did it again.
And the whole of the Patterson clan all turned around.
I know. They weren't happy.
Why does he keep knocking glasses? How many's he had? That's true. He was just carrying out, it was like Fred Dynage on Howl, wasn't it? He was carrying out an experiment, basically.
It was good stuff, though. And John, who's with us, our producer, John Cadigan, he insists on using the company taxi app, which is fine. I don't blame him for that. And saves it. Putting in expenses, etc. afterwards.
Okay.
And yes, I thought I'd give you the technical details.
Okay. Well, you want to break down the accounts? It's always a good listen, that. Fantastic.
And I think we're still waiting for Pius in his Prius.
Pius in his Prius, yeah.
Who ate all the Pius. Did he ever turn up? Oh, he did turn up in the end.
He did, yeah. He did.
We were expecting a Pope mobile. We waited so
the
long.
The thing was, I think the idea of this particular app is that the taxi comes to you, but we walk for 6 minutes to get to him.
Yeah.
Surely that's not the idea, is it? To walk to the taxi.
Times John say he's 400 yards away.
Yeah, he kept always going round the square again. It was not wacky races. And a man named after a pope. We expected better, basically.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so that was all good fun.
You've exhausted that, Andy, have you?
Well, I've done that bit. But the only other thing that happened during there was that we discovered that Vanilla Ice is looking for Shergar.
That's right. He's got a new. I understand he's got a new documentary. We'll have to get Vanilla Ice on, right? Because, I mean, the hunt for Shergar was very much a sporting story.
Oh, I tell you what I did see the other day. You know, we're watching the Wales game. In my notes here, that the Italy-Turkey game.
Italy-Turkey, yeah.
Roberto Mancini doesn't wear a belt either. So I've had all this thing about Southgate not wearing a belt. It must be a thing. It must be a new fashion.
The kids aren't wearing belts.
It's a disaster for the belt industry. And Tinsel rang me up. He was gutted when the third one went in. Not literally gutted, obviously.
No.
Bad. We need him for the tournament.
We should thank, what's the dog called? Willow, the cockapoo. Because Willow predicted that England would beat Croatia, the latest predictive animal. Quite a smart animal, apparently. And spell her own name, identify shapes, and count to 10. Just like that's life dog again, isn't it, Prince?
Versatile.
And, oh, there's Turkey. Okay, all right, Tinsel, calm down. You were going to get a mention in a minute. Because Tinsel has joined. He's our predictive animal. Works for fever. All right. So, Tinsel, give us a score then for Scotland versus the Czech Republic and your considered reading of the game this afternoon. Okay. Oh,
That's 2-1, I think.
It's 2-1.
He's playing
up top. He is playing Lyndon Dykes and Jay Adams up front. So that's bold. Thank you, Tits. Also 2-1.
Susie McCabe.
2-1 Scotland there.
Good morning.
Yes, lovely to see you. So a bit nervous?
Beside myself. I have genuinely not been this excited about a Scotland national game probably since 1998.
Right.
You know, probably. I think the fact that we're here, and do you know what? There is a, you know, we would get to the tournaments and we go, oh, whatever will happen. Whereas I think now people are like going, this is going to be great.
Mm.
We've got a calm and coherent manager who's a great coach. And we've actually got some great players in that team. And we can build that team, those great players, with very good players around them. We don't have the same quality of England or Croatia and stuff like that. And we know that. But what we do have is a great team spirit, Robertson is a winner. Tierney is a winner. Like, I still cry for Kieran Tierney not playing for my club anymore. Yeah. But
Celtic fans love him, our mate Dave loves him. He's a world-class player, isn't he?
World-class player. But do you know what I love about these guys? Like they two and McGinn, they play football like the way lads play football. They play football to win, and they don't mind leaving a bit on a player, and they don't mind taking a bit. You know, they give it their all, and I think that's all we ask for. Go out, give it your all, do your very best, and if it doesn't work out, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I think we, as a nation, we're starting to. But like, I don't think anyone thinks we're winning it. I say this at 5-2 today. I will be like 9 points from this group, and we are bringing this trophy back up the roads. You know, but yeah. I mean, I think it's just that hope and optimism. And do you know what? After the past year, and you could even go bigger than that in Scotland, you could say after maybe the past 6-7 years with the country's quite divided between nationalism and unionism and all this kind of stuff, it's the one thing that's going to bring us all together, and it's going to be magnificent.
Yeah.
Reading about you, I loved your football credentials. I mean, you've been into the game for a very long time, sitting on your granddad's bed listening to it on the radio.
That's the way
to get into it.
Yeah, thanks for giving my age away.
Totally.
My brother used to go to the game in the early 80s, and I would be with Gran and Grandad, and you know, at that point it was only the second half you would get of the game, and it was only if you happened to be game of the day. If it was Rangers Hearts, that was the second half of the game, but you still listen to it. And do you know, there's actually still a thing where I actually still enjoy listening to football on the radio.
I think
there's something, I know it's quite old fashioned, but I think there's something quite,
it's exciting,
romantic,
and it's sort of
intimacy,
I think, to it sometimes, you know.
In the car, having to pull over, you know.
But you're a big Celtic fan, and you could see the stadium from your house.
Yes, I can actually hear the stadium. I used to, before I'd done stand up, I used to be a fully fledged season ticket holder. You know, went to all the games and then started stand up. And just by the nature of stand up and the nature of modern football, of when we play football, it just became more and more difficult. And you guys know I'll be up and down the country. So I eventually gave up my season ticket just round about before Brendan Rodgers. So that was a great move. And do you know what? I still love it. My mates will laugh at me because whenever they come into our house, there is always football on. It could be, it could be the Championship, it could be the National League, it could be Celtic. I'll even watch Rangers. I've just always got football on, and like I was saying to you guys, I've always got Talk Sport on. I'm always listening. So I just love it.
You were, your route into stand-up was, you said, a drunken dare with a friend that got you and said, go on then, get up and do it.
Pretty much, yeah. So it's quite a tragic start to this story, is that a friend of mine had been diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. Me and another friend were talking about it. About 3 in the morning, numerous curry and beer had been had, and he was like, oh, you can do this thing, and at the end of it, we can do a 5-minute stand-up. And I was like, that's fine. Woke up the next morning, they went, do you remember what you said you would do last night? And I said, I can't jump out a plane. He said, oh no, you need to do stand-up. And I was like, he goes, well, do a course. You do a course and it shows you how to write stand-up. He goes, because you're funny and you know, we'll have a laugh. And I said, right, okay. And I done it, and my friend who was diagnosed came along to my very first gig. She is sadly no longer with us. But yeah, and it just absolutely spiraled from there, and it's probably just the best thing I've ever done.
So was it a bit, because of what happened, a bit of a sort of seize the day thing? You felt, you know, if I'm going to do this, this is the time to do it.
I was always the joker in the classroom or at a party and stuff like that. I was just full of carry on, but I never even considered, when you come from kind of the East End and you're a working class, you don't think about the arts. You know, me going and saying to my dad, I quite fancy going into the arts as a kid. He'd be like, that's nice. Get a job, you know. So it was never a kind of option.
Yeah.
And I just kind of stumbled into it, as a lot of stand-ups do. They tend to just stumble into it and go, this is what I need to probably...
But you had a successful career, weren't you? In construction or something like that?
Yeah. Electrical estimator, which I've went back to doing just now because of the pandemic,
course, yeah,
obviously.
Wow.
I've not been able to gig, so slowly getting back gigging. I've got a beer garden tour just now with another comedian, Des McLean. And
we're trying to do that
to... Our, obviously, our restrictions are a bit different up here from down the road. So for our clubs to open... It's not particularly practical because by nature, like, we're next door to my spiritual comedy home of the Glasgow Stand, which is an amazing comedy club.
Yeah.
But you know yourself, clubs are low-ceilinged, poorly ventilated.
Sure.
You know, if the coronavirus was going to start anywhere, it would have been the Edinburgh Fringe, you know. So went back to that just now, part-time, to just kind of keep myself going, and then... Hopefully, once the gigs take off again, we'll be
back. Edinburgh is happening. I mean, you were successful at the Fringe 2019, but it's happening again this year, but it's going to be slightly different.
Yeah, it's a kind of virtual Fringe. So I was very fortunate. I ran a monthly gig in Glasgow, and it was a Wednesday night, and it was like a little cool New York basement, 50-seater. And the guy whose venue had done that actually built a studio in his nightclub, full green screen. And 180-degree wraparound screen. So
wow.
We had a virtual comedy gig, and it looked like a comedy club, and we could interact with an audience and get them back, and it was phenomenal. And that's along the lines of what Edinburgh's going to do. But I was meant to play the King's Theatre, pretty much sold out the King's Theatre for the 28th of March 2020.
Oh.
Lockdown 23rd of March 2020, you know, so look, that's going to come back next year, but we just have to do what we all have to do to get through it just now. And you can see, look, you can feel it walking about, you can see it, we're slowly getting there. And I know things might be delayed down the road, and things will probably be delayed up here, but we are where we are, and we just need to keep people safe and do it right so we never need to live through this again.
No, absolutely. I mentioned at the top there that you're a rugby player, and so what kind of got you into that? What got you playing?
It was school. The school I went to was in North Lanarkshire. It was St Ambrose. It was actually the same school. Me and Michelle McManus were the year below each other.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it was a terrible PE department, but a fantastic canteen. me and Michelle, and the school got us into the rugby. A lot of the teachers were aligned to the local rugby club, and... The football at that point, you know, you look at women's football now and it's massive, and it's great. It's great to see, and there's some great games.
Yeah.
But it just was never a thing. So the rugby boys went, no, let's do this. And I think we were only the second kind of rugby team for women, and they actually got the female ladies internationals to come and coach us, and then we all got to be ball girls at the Ladies Rugby World Cup, which is like 13, 14.
Sure.
And then through that, the SRU have always been so positive in getting kids into the game and cheaper tickets. It was like a tenner for us to all go and see Scotland v England at Murrayfield and stuff. You know, it suddenly became such a much more accessible sport than football financially.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is a bit ridiculous when you think about rugby having this really middle-class reputation, where actually the SRU went out and says, no, in you come. You know, it's a game for all, and you love it. And it truly is, and I still try and go to a Six Nations game at least once a season, and it's just such a great day. It's so different. The cultural difference from football is phenomenal, and a lot of people in Scotland, there is that whole class thing. Where they're like, oh, yeah, aye, the egg chasers, aye. It's just for the posh boys. Like, these Scottish people that are just English, right? You know? But then they go to a day at the rugby and they go, this is the best day out. Because, you know, you've got your Guinness tents and you're up, you've got your beers in your seat and everyone, there's no segregation. And it's just it's a great sport for discipline as well, I think, rugby. I think if I had a kid... I would probably try and steer them towards rugby. Like, be a football fan, but steer them towards rugby for the kind of discipline. And that whole, there is more of a team mentality in rugby. You know, a back's not getting the ball unless the forward does the work.
Yeah.
And the forward's never sprinting up a pitch. I don't care how fit they are. You know, that's the job for the runners at the back.
Yeah.
It is that whole, we are 15 people and we need to do this together. And if you're a certain position... but there's a ruck in a mall. You just need to get in.
Yeah,
and that's it. Whereas, you know, look at teams like Portugal and stuff. You can have Ronaldo, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get that in rugby. Yeah, you know, you'll have a great player, but he needs the other 14 around him to make him great.
Our friend Charlie Baker and fellow presenter asked to send his love. I know you know Charlie.
Oh, I love him. I love him. He is my favourite little lesbian. He is. No, I do. I love him. He's such a good guy. Such a talented man.
He is.
Like, all
song and dance, man.
Song, lovely dance. Yeah.
You're doing the lot.
Jokes. Yeah. You're like, Charlie, I'm just getting up to tell some jokes. Can you just...
Stop tap dancing, Charlie.
Put your spats away, Charlie. There's sawdust on the floor, Charlie.
And finally, we should ask you, you did tell us before, but tell us where you're watching the game.
So oh, I'm going to be watching it with my mates. We're going to be having some pizza and we are going to be hoarse by the end of it. I genuinely think we can get a result today.
Absolutely. I fancy Scotland as well,
I think we can get a result today. And we're 8-1 to beat England.
Yeah.
I think that's free money, lads.
You never know.
See, it's
fighting talk.
It's that blind optimism, isn't it? It's that blind optimism.
So once you are able to go out and gig again, where can people find you, Susie, on social media and stuff, gig-wise? And where can we find you on?
Oh, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Insta, I'm on Facebook. I've got my website, susiemccabe.com.
Brilliant.
And, you know, I'm everywhere. And if you've got a nice beer garden and you want some jokes, give us a shout.
Absolutely. Well, look, lovely to meet you.
Thanks for having me on, lads.
Join us. Enjoy the game today.
Enjoy the tournament. No, you know, don't have too good a tournament, but enjoy it. And all the very best for it.
And if you can touch the hem of big Colin Hendry, who's just sitting behind us, I think, in a Scotland shirt from the World Cup 98.
Actual living legend.
That's right.
Even for a Celtic
touch the
fan,
hem of
I'm
his
like,
garment.
He's a legend.
Cheers, Susie. Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
All the best.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Joining us now here at the Old Schoolhouse Pub in Glasgow, a man who was there last time in 98, Colin Hendry. Good afternoon, Colin.
Gentlemen, it's an absolute honour to meet you both.
Well, yeah, it's good to see you too.
You know what? Jim White, I don't know if Jim's anything to do with this, me being on the show today. But it's been long coming with Jim. I have an issue with Jim White.
Do you?
And he's lucky he was only here this morning and he's escaped.
Oh, what's the issue?
Because he's promised. He said, I'll get you on. And it's never happened.
Well, we stepped up.
We're delighted to have you, Colin. Definitely.
Now, you are wearing a Scotland shirt. Now, when I looked across the room, I thought, is that one of the shirts he wore in a tournament? But then we realised it was, as Susie McKay pointed out, Argentina 78. You were a touch young for that one, weren't you?
It's a story behind it. Where I come from, the northeast of Scotland, a little village called town called Keith, we didn't have organised football. So anybody under the age of 12 was all together, anybody under the age of 16 were all together. So if you were 8 or 9 and under 12s, you're getting beat 10-15-0 to start with. But you're not organised football. So by the time you get to 11-12, you're beating teams 10-15-0. Anyway, my father created the team, Keith Athletic, who I played for, my friends played for. And we had a jumble sale, coffee morning, raised a bit of cash, and we bought this very strip from Roslyn Sports in Aberdeen. And my mother, the very first wash, she put a red jumper in it.
Oh, no.
Pink.
Oh, no. Yeah, oh, okay. Pink.
So it's an old story, but this was 1978.
Did you continue to wear the pink trim?
We had no option, did we?
No. Didn't Scotland wear pink at one point?
They had a pink.
Yeah, they did. Salmon pink, and then this morning, Kenny McLean said that he played in the pink. I can't recall which game. I think it might have been the Israel game that played in. But, 1978, Archie's goal in Argentina against Holland, and... Yeah, I was a fan. I am a fan.
Yeah.
I was at the World Cup in 1982 with my mum and dad and my brother and sister. Russia, New Zealand at Malaga, and we went to see Brazil. The David Neri toe poke in Seville.
Job. Yeah.
So I'm dyed in the wool. I'm like these guys, yeah.
It's very touchy about
that. It's really
that.
Nice, actually. It's really nice that somebody who was a pro but still has that same fans' enthusiasm. It's quite unusual, though.
It was a dream, you know, as a kid growing up where I grew up, to become a professional footballer. That was never in the... That was never going to happen, professional football. And then you go from that to achieving things, winning things, captaining, playing for Scotland, captaining Scotland, and then the cherry on the icing on the cake was Brazil and France in Paris in 1998.
Yeah. We'll go back to 98 in a minute, and I wasn't going to start with this, but it just leads in. You mentioned David Neri, then you mentioned Archie. I spoke to Archie last week, and I brought up the goal against Holland. He said, well, I kind of feel my career was more than that. We said, of course, you talk to David Neri. He doesn't really want to talk about the toe poke.
No.
It's just, so we come round to maybe a bit of an elephant in the room, because all we get down, I know you live in England as well, Colin, so you get a diet of this, but when we get to a European Championship, we see Paul Gascoigne's goal against Scotland at Wembley. And you're the man, you're the other part of that story, of course. What does this drive you mad when it's constantly replayed? How do you feel about it?
There's actually people out there think that I don't sleep at night because of this goal. After that, I captained Scotland in the opening game against Brazil in the World Cup. I won the treble with Glasgow Rangers. If it's safe for me to say in Glasgow that we won the league at Parkhead. I've done a lot of different things since then, and it's taken arguably, and this is for you guys, England's greatest ever footballer, to do that to me.
Yeah.
So there's no shame in that.
No, that's your fault.
There's no shame in that. And the other thing is that he wouldn't be able to do it these days.
And you also won the Premier League, and Gazza never did.
That's what I put out. I mean, and I never ever fall out with anyone on social media. If it can get vile at times. If it is, ignore it. But generally, I come back with a picture of me holding the Premiership trophy, and there's no answer to that.
When you watch it back, I mean, you said it was a moment of brilliance from a great player. When you watch that goal back, do you think, should I have done that differently, maybe, if I'd done that or not?
I had the choice. We're getting beat 1-0 anyway. If I take him out, I get red carded. I miss the next game. We're getting beat anyway. Another goal wouldn't make a difference. I'd play the next game. I think he made the correct decision.
Yeah.
I mean, Gazza can enjoy the goal and the plaudits for it, and I understand it and I get it. I've not got a problem with it at all. But I wouldn't change any part of my career for what I achieved in it.
Sure.
But it was a great goal, and as I said just a second ago, it's taken arguably England's greatest ever footballer to do that to me. So, you know.
Yeah,
no shame in it.
No shame at all. We talked a lot earlier about the documentary, Mr. Brown's Boys. You're in it.
Yes. Yeah.
You're very, with a twinkle. It looks like you really enjoyed doing it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I did. And this last week or so, a couple of weeks, the build-up, and then we had a couple of TV programmes to do as well. So it comes out, and it's great because it's 23 years since we've been involved. And, you know, it's just it's a tinge of sadness, obviously, because we're going to get 12,000 to the game today. And the whole part of the public can't make it, but on top of that there's a whole generation and a half of footballers that haven't made it, you know, the McFaddens and Barry Fergusons and Alan McGregors and loads of different players, quality top rate players, have not had the opportunity to play in a Euros or a World Cup.
No, I'm similar sort of ages, Colin. I think I'm a touch older than you, but I grew up at a time when Scotland always qualified, at a time when England didn't. I mean, 74, 78. So there was an expectation that Scotland would always be at major tournaments. Sadly, they didn't get through to the next stage, but they were always there, always qualifying. So it's been weird to think it's been this long.
I think Craig Brown explained last week how when we qualified against Latvia for the World Cup in 98. He said, we went back into the changing room, everybody had a lap around the pitch, they went and had a cup of tea. And that's because they qualified.
Yeah.
We always qualified. I don't think anyone really seen us coming to this stage in Scottish football not having qualified for 23 years.
No. There must be moments, isn't there? The game against Italy, there's been playoffs, there's been nearly moments. But that's often been a story of Scottish football, really.
Oh, goodness me, yeah. I just hope it doesn't happen today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're live from Birmingham. Tomorrow.
Day two of the holiday. I'm really enjoying it.
Good stuff, yeah. So we're off to Birmingham. We'll catch up with you there if you can join us at the earlier time of 10 a.m. But enjoy all the football today here on TalkSport and TalkSport 2.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that.
Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.